is the meaning behind the miracles of Jesus? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Now remember that the purpose of this miracle is to teach a greater spiritual miracle. Not that Jesus can heal a paralyzed man, but that Jesus can save a soul and give you spiritual power. John did not write the Gospel of John that paralyzed people might be healed. He wrote the Gospel of John that lost people might be saved. Not that we would receive physical strength, but that we would receive supernatural strength from above, that believing in Jesus, that we could walk in vitality, liberty, and victory day by day.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the powerful lessons of pastor and Bible teacher Adrian Rogers. The scriptures show the miracles of Jesus deal not just with physical healing, but also how to have inner strength that only God can provide. When Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5, he miraculously healed just one man. The healing of this man's body attested to a greater unseen miracle. We are spiritually paralyzed, but in Christ we have supernatural strength for living. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 5. We'll begin in verse 1 as Adrian Rogers reveals how Jesus is God's answer to man's disability.
Now, let me give you the background here. It takes place at a pool called the Pool of Bethesda. And that literally means at the House of Mercy. If you've been to Israel, as some of us have, it's just right outside or right inside the Sheep Gate where Stephen was stoned. And you go to this place, this pool, it is still there. Actually, it's about 40 feet below street level now where this miracle took place. The Lord Jesus showed his mercy to this poor man who had been sick for 38 years. Now, it was something like a health spa, and all around on these porches are sick people. Some of them with withered limbs, some of them were blind, some of them had maladies that perhaps you may be afflicted with, but only worse. They were there hoping for a miracle. And yearly, when the water would bubble up, God in his mercy would perform a miracle, and whoever stepped into the water would be healed. Now, Jesus came there. It was on a feast day, and he went to one particular man. There were many there, but Jesus chose one. This man had been waiting in line for 38 years. At least he had been sick, paralyzed, an invalid for 38 years. I don't know how long, really, he had been there at the Pool of Bethesda, but for a long time, waiting in line, trying to inch closer and closer to the water that he might be in the water, the first in the water, and to be healed. And Jesus asks him a profound but a very simple question. Do you want to be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? That's a question not only was Jesus asking that man. Now that's a question Jesus is asking you. Amen. We're going to learn three things tonight that will help us to have powerful living, that will help us to understand in the spiritual realm that Jesus Christ is God's answer for man's disability. Here's the first thing you must do if you would find the strength this man found so long ago. The first thing you must do is to validate your weakness. Validate your weakness. Admit that you're weak. Now look, if you will, in verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. This man really represents you and me without the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the problem with many of us is we will not admit that we are spiritually paralyzed. We will not validate our own weakness. But let me give you a verse of scripture to put in the margin. Is Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Listen to it. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly." The Bible describes every man without Christ as being without strength. He's just like this impotent man. That's what the word impotent means. We don't have the strength to be godly. I don't care how hard you try to be godly, you don't have what it takes to be godly. We are without strength when it comes to being godly. You see, you may be strong to do as you want, but you're not strong to do as you ought. While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. The primary source of our weakness is sin. The paralyzing force of our sin is that we cannot be what God would have us to be. Not only must you validate your weakness, but you must activate your will. Look in verse 6. Look at it. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? In modern English, will you be made whole? Do you wish to be made whole? What is your will in this matter? Now let me say to each of us that we must activate our own will. God will never coerce your will. If God were to coerce your will, if your relationship with Him is forced, then you're no longer a man, you're a machine. And God could have no fellowship with a machine. If you want to come to Christ, you may. But if you don't want to come to Christ, He'll not force you. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. But if you don't want to come, there are not enough angels in heaven that God would allow one of them to drag you down this aisle. But if you want to come, there are not enough demons in hell or out of hell or wherever they may be to keep you from coming. God has given you a will. And our Lord says to you, will you be made whole? Now, some theologians react about this matter of human beings having a will. They think that when you talk about the free will of man, that somehow you negate the sovereignty of God. But both the sovereignty of God and the free will of man are both taught in the Scripture. And Jesus spoke to this man, and Jesus said, will you be made whole? And the fact that God respects human will does not negate or denigrate the sovereignty of God at all. And sometimes people build artificial arguments that ought not to be built. There's an old story about some preachers who were having a discussion over theology. There was a room full of them. They got into a heated argument over the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. And there were some who were hyper-Calvinistic. And they said, nobody can choose God. God chooses them. And man doesn't have a will about this thing. God from eternity has predestined some for hell and some for heaven. And God is just sovereign over the whole matter. There were others who said, no, now wait a minute. The Bible says, whosoever will may come, and the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there got to be a heated argument. And after a while, they separated into little holy huddles. Over here on this side were those who stood up for what they called the sovereignty of God. And over here on this side, there were those who stood up for what they call the free will of man. There was one preacher caught in the middle. He said, well, these fellows, when they talk, they sound so right. But when these fellows talk, they sound so right also. So he didn't know which side to go to. So he said, well, I think I'll go to this side over here where these people who talk so much about the sovereignty of God, where they're having their little holy huddle. They saw him coming. And he said, why did you come over here? Well, he said, I just wanted to. I came of my own free will. They said, you don't belong in this group. You go over there. So he went over here. And they said to him, why are you coming over here? Well, he said, they sent me over here. They said, you can't come over here unless you come of your own free will. Those are the kind of silly arguments that people get into. I want to tell you, dear friend, that God never made any man to go to hell. God never made any man to go to hell. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and whosoever will may come. Surely God is sovereign. God is sovereign enough to give a man a will without losing his own sovereignty. That's how sovereign God is. God is a sovereign God. I heard about a little boy one time who was 10 years old. He heard a preacher preach. And that preacher said, God created some people to be damned and to go to hell. And God created some people to be saved and go to heaven. That little boy who was 10 years old said this, If God created me to go to hell, I want to go to hell. Because anything that does what God created it to do is happy. You think about that. Hell would cease to exist if God created us for hell and hell for us. And the flames of hell would turn to the flames of glory because we'd be right in the center of the will of God. Friend, listen. If you go to hell, you'll be an intruder. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And the Lord says, will you be made whole? That's the question he asks. That's an interesting question. Because why would you say to a sick man, will you be made whole? The answer seems obvious. It seems the question seems superfluous. But our Lord is teaching us a lesson here that he will not force himself upon any individual, but whosoever will may come. Now, this man could never have said yes to Jesus except Jesus had given the initiative. We love him because he first loves us. He will not force our will, but he always enables our will, and we could never choose him if he had not first chosen us. Thank God for that. But friend, the question is there, will you be made whole? Now, Jesus didn't say, do you want to walk again? But he used a word that encapsulates fullness, wholeness, wholesomeness. Many people want the result of sin erased, but they don't want to be made whole. They don't want to truly, really be a full person as God intended for them to be. But what must you do if you would have strength for living? You must validate your weakness. You must activate your will. You must say, yes, Lord, I want you. One of the strangest stories that was ever told is a true story. It happened many years ago in 1829. George Wilson was sentenced in the state of Pennsylvania to be hanged for mail robbery and murder. But President Andrew Jackson, for whatever reason I know not, pardoned George Wilson and said he is not to be hanged, he's not to be put to death. They took that pardon to the governor of the state, and then they took that pardon from the governor on to the warden of the penitentiary where George Wilson was incarcerated. And finally, they delivered it to George Wilson and said, the President of the United States has pardoned you. You will not hang. George Wilson said, I refuse the pardon. I will not accept the pardon. I want to be hanged. They didn't know what to do. I mean, here we've got a pardon, but now the prisoner will not accept the pardon. What do you do with a man who's been pardoned, supposed to be hanged by the neck until dead, and the man will not accept the pardon? What do you do? Just take him to the door and shove him out of the prison anyway? They didn't know what to do. They debated it back and forth. It ended up in the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and the Supreme Court met and studied the matter, and this is what they decided, and Chief Justice John Marshall said this, and I quote, a pardon is a piece of paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. If it is refused, it is no pardon. As a result, George Wilson was hung by the neck until dead, even though a pardon had been offered. And you can sit in this auditorium tonight, die and go to hell when Jesus stretches out his arms and says, will you be made whole? That pardon is no good if it is not validated by you, if you will refuse it. So what must you do? What must you do? You must validate your weakness. You must activate your will. Now here's the third thing. You must initiate your walk. You must initiate your walk. Now look, if you will, in verses 7 through 9. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming down, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Initiate your walk. Now remember that the purpose of this miracle is to teach a greater spiritual miracle. Not that Jesus can heal a paralyzed man, but that Jesus can save a soul and give you spiritual power to be godly. Let me give you again the verse that teaches that, John 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John did not write the Gospel of John that paralyzed people might be healed. He wrote the Gospel of John that lost people might be saved. Not that we would receive physical strength like Paul Anderson had, but that we would receive supernatural strength from above, that believing in Jesus, that we could walk in vitality, liberty, and victory day by day. Now, Jesus said to this man, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Keep that in mind, because you must initiate your walk. If you were to go to all of the Bible for the most crystal clear verses that teach salvation, you would have to go to Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Isn't that true? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Those are three marvelous verses, and they're built around three prepositions: by, through, and unto. Now listen very carefully. I want you to take this verse in just a moment, and we are going to apply it to what Jesus said to this man when he said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. First of all, how was this man delivered? By grace. There was nothing he could do. He's paralyzed. The Bible says immediately he was made whole. Salvation is by the sheer grace of God. By the sheer grace of God. It is by grace. Had you and I been standing there and heard the Lord Jesus Christ say this to this man, rise, take up your bed and walk, we might have said it's not right to taunt him that way. It's not right to torment him that way. How can you tell a paralyzed man to get up? If he could get up, he would have gotten up a long time ago. So why do you tell him to do that? That's impossible. And because it's impossible, it's unreasonable. And because it's impossible and unreasonable, it's unfair. But while we're talking, the man is standing up. Now let me tell you what Christianity is. Christianity is the impossible, the unreasonable, and Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus does the impossible, he does the unreasonable, but it's possible with him. With him, all things are possible. He says to a paralyzed man, rise. And that's what he says to every sinner. I will save you supernaturally. I will transform you. It is by grace. But it's through faith. He says, take up your bed. Now, why would that man take up his bed? He'd been waiting in line year after year after year. Our Lord says, take that up. Get it out of here. You don't need it anymore. Now, it wasn't a four-poster bed like you sleep in. It was a pallet, a soft blanket that he slept on. Take it up. Get it out of here. Suppose you want to see playoff games and you want to get a ticket. And let's suppose they had a certain number of tickets and you're standing in line. Let's suppose you've been there now for a day and a half. You've got your thermos bottle and your sandwiches and your little sleeping bag, and you're in line waiting and waiting and waiting to get a Super Bowl ticket. And then suppose a buddy says to you, hey, man, I got two tickets right down front, best tickets available. I've got them. Come on, let's go. Now, would you get out of line? Yes, if you believed him. Yes, if you believed him. Now, if you didn't believe him, you have been waiting in line this much time. I'm not going to get out of this line. You see, Jesus says, look, it is by grace, but it's through faith. You just obey me. You just trust me. And here's a man who is putting his faith into action. Remember what we told you, that faith is belief with legs on it. Now, so this man, it is by grace, through faith, unto good works. Jesus says, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And the Greek verb literally is not talking about punctiliar action where you just take a step. It means walk and just keep on walking. Now, was this man healed because he walked, or did he walk because he's healed? He walks because he's healed. You're not saved by doing good works. You're saved unto good works. It is by grace, through faith, unto good works. You live the Christian life not in order to be saved, but because you're saved. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but Jesus did not say to this man, walk, take up your bed, and rise. He couldn't walk until he was up. And you cannot live the Christian life until you receive the Christian life. The Bible says, as ye have received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him. And if you'll understand that you're saved by grace, through faith, unto good works, you will receive the strength to live supernaturally. Your body will get sick and die, but though your outward man perish, your inward man will be renewed day by day. Jesus did not come as the great healer. He came as the great teacher. And listen to me again, you need to go beyond miracles and on to Jesus. Believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus.
I don't know how many times I've used that truth from Pastor Rogers, believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. What a powerful message. And if you have questions regarding how to do that, how to place your faith fully in what Jesus did for you, we'd love to offer an insightful resource on our website. It's the Find Answers page. You can go to lwf.org/radio and click Find Answers. There you'll see some resources and materials that will answer questions you may have about beginning a relationship with God. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title, Jesus is God's Answer to Man's Disability. This message is also part of the insightful series, Parade of Miracles. For that complete 7-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD, or you can order online at lwf.org/radio, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You can also purchase our new Bible studies, much like this message, in our online store. For more on that, go to lwf.org/radio. Our outward bodies will get sick and die, but if we're following Jesus, our inward selves can be renewed day by day. Pastor Rogers said, John did not write the Gospel of John that paralyzed people might be healed. He wrote it so that lost people might be saved. We hope you'll join us next time for more from Adrian Rogers right here on Love Worth Finding. Here's some encouragement a listener recently shared with us online. I thank God for Adrian Rogers. I now regularly listen to his sermons and share them with others. His messages are truly timeless and are so important for all to hear, especially with everything going on in our world today. You know, at Love Worth Finding, our mission is to draw people to Christ and help believers dig deeper into God's Word. To do that, we create new tools and resources inspired by the timeless teaching of Pastor Rogers. As we approach the end of this year, we want to thank you for your gift to the ministry by sending a copy of Wonder and Worship. This new book is a collection of Pastor Rogers' best thoughts about wonder and worship, formatted to remind you that God is present in our worship no matter where we are. Request this resource when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. And thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.